We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. I'm with Greg Pickle. And it's time for the Ask Greg segment of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Remember, best question, you get your KSN polo shirt. And it, Greg, I am sure as we record, you are wearing one of your KSN polo shirts. Am I not right?
That's right, Jim. I've been doing extra loads of laundry just to make sure I can wear all three of them each day of the week and then also be able to have them ready for the new recording session. So, yes, I am ready to go.
Wearing it proudly. I'm proud of you, Greg. All right. Let's get to the questions. First, this first question is from Travis in York. Old friend, I know Travis. He says, hey, guys, been too long. Hope you're all well. Keep doing your thing. It's always a great listen. Here's the question. You spoke about a lack of trust in safety recruiting in a recent episode. I don't know if that was you or Dustin, but he says, I certainly won't argue with it. However, their development at the position has been stellar. Is it possible Coach Franklin doesn't put a premium on big-name safety recruits because he has such faith in Tim Banks' ability to develop players and also in converting cornerbacks?
Yeah, I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but I think it's almost the other way around, Jim. I think it's that big-time safety recruits haven't put a priority on Penn State over the last few years. And don't get me wrong, there's been some, but I mean, for the most part, they've went after a lot of big four-star safeties. They've got some of them, of course, but probably not as many as they would have liked to have get. And they've seen some of those guys go to their main competitors and make an impact sooner rather than later. So I don't know. I think I would look at it a little bit differently and say that while they've done a nice job transitioning guys from corner to safety, and they've done a nice job developing some of the three stars that they've picked up, I think it's fair to say that they certainly would have loved to have had a few bigger name prospects that they didn't end up getting. So they kind of had to reverse course. I mean, look, I don't know how else to say it. If you have to convert guys from corner to safety, that means you missed on some evaluations and you have holes at one position because of it. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to go that far yet. I think that, again, they've done a nice job with the hand they've been dealt, but they need to do a better job of finding something better than, you know, pocket twos or pocket threes. They need to start looking for those jacks, queens, kings, and aces that some of their Big Ten and college football peers have been able to find.
Yeah, this isn't like the NFL where you put more emphasis on a position in the draft as a first-round draft pick. You want first-round draft picks at every position. So anyway, Travis, thanks for the question, and hello to you, and say hi to Stephanie for us also. All right, next up is James from Mechanicsburg. Greg, any word on how the COVID-19 situation affects Ricky Slade's transfer process? Also, do you think this will decrease the amount of transfers this offseason given the current uncertainties? Good question, because we also haven't heard much about Ricky Slade recently.
Yeah, I still think he's transferring. It might take a little bit longer because he won't be able to go visit places during the spring like he had hoped to, but I don't see any way that he comes back to play at Penn State, regardless of whether we have a spring, winter, or a fall traditional college football season. So I think the holdup there, of course, will be, like I said, just trying to get out and taking some of those visits. But as it relates to transferring in general, of course, I think this will have an impact on that, because keep in mind two big things about transfers. One, guys decide to do so only after they go through spring practice and realize that the opportunities they thought were going to be there won't be, in terms of, you know, maybe they thought they'd be number two on the depth chart coming out of spring practice, and now maybe they're number four, number five, and they think, all right, well, I better go find somewhere else that I can actually get on the field. So with no spring practice, you're not going to have those kind of situations. And then further than that, guys like to take visits in the summer to find out where they want to go before summer camp begins. We don't know if that's going to happen right now. So the question that brings up, though, Jim, excuse me, is how is Penn State going to get down to 85 scholarships when it doesn't have those spring drills to kind of help herd the thin the herd a little bit, if you will? I think that's a really fascinating question that James Franklin and his staff are going to have to figure out an answer to. So we will see. But yeah, it's going to have a major impact on the number of transfers. And I won't be surprised if they dip pretty considerably during this spring and summer, just because, again, I think some guys we're going to maybe think about doing that, but now they can't go visit school. So that leaves them in a position of either staying with what they know or maybe taking a chance on something they don't really know. So we'll see. But it's going to be interesting to see how Penn State gets down to 85. It's close, which is a good thing, but it's not quite there yet.
And it is. And I'll tell you what, as far as Ricky Slade goes, for those who are holding out hope that he comes back, I think it'd be a lot easier if they were only at 82 or 83 scholarships as opposed to 88 or whatever it is they're at now. All right.
Yes.
Next up is Jeff from Washington, D.C. Jeff says, why is it that Penn State's traditionally recruited Maryland really well, but never seems to be in the running for kids out of St. Francis Academy? That school produces top talent each year. Is it relationships, or are there other factors at play?
I think it's a little bit of relationships. I think it's a little bit of the fact that, as the question indicates, some of these guys, Penn State really hasn't had much success there, and a lot of those guys have gone elsewhere. Well, what kind of success has Penn State had in a lot of cases? They get guys who were, a kid is a senior. Maybe he played with a guy as a sophomore in high school. Maybe that guy picked Penn State, so he has that teammate connectionship there. Well, Penn State doesn't really connection there. Well, Penn State doesn't really have that, so I think that that's been a challenge there. And, yeah, for whatever reason, they have not been able to do a good job of really getting in there and getting the top talent out of there. I'm sure it's something James Franklin and his staff are working on, but there's no one sort of wholesome answer, I guess you could say, to that question at this point in time.
Okay. Next up is James from Revere, Massachusetts. I think James was our winner last week from Revere. Anyway, James asked this week, if Ohio State wants a player in Ohio, they get him with few exceptions. Yet this doesn't seem to be the norm in Pennsylvania with Penn State. Is this a difference in mentality between the kids in the two states, or is it just that Penn State needs to reach that next tier of recruiting?
I think it's both, but it's heavily weighted towards the next tier of recruiting. I think that when kids in Ohio grow up, they really cling to the idea of playing for Ohio State. And why is that? Because Ohio State's had tremendous success for much of the childhood and early, high school years, adulthood, I guess you could say, or young adulthood of a lot of these recruits. And Penn State can't really boast that right now. You know, they can point to the last few years and things like that. But a lot of the kids who are 17 and 18 now, you know, Penn State wasn't lighting the world on fire with, wins and college football play, college football championships and things like that when those kids were 7 and 8. So I think a lot of these kids probably have dreamed of growing up to play for an Ohio State or schools that have had some more success. Now, obviously, that doesn't completely answer the question, because Clemson's been able to turn its winning of late into a pretty good tear on the recruiting front, even though it may not have the greatest 10, 15 year history either. But so that gets into that second part then about getting to the next level, Jim. And to do that, how do you do it? It's a pretty simple answer. Win, like those schools are winning. And you have to be able to show guys that they can come play for you and win a college football playoff championship, or at least be in that conversation by consistently beating Ohio State and being able to beat Michigan on the road and things of that nature. So I think that's the challenge Penn State faces at this point, is it has to start winning more and getting into those games. And then once they do, recruiting will take care of itself.
Yeah, I think you make some good points there, Greg. And in Ohio, under previous regimes, I think they did build the wall. They around Ohio kept a lot of Ohio kids. They then expanded that with Urban Meyer, became a national power. So, but they've still maintained that we keep the kids in Ohio that we want, and we can still reach out into other places. Let's face it, Penn State is in the same division as Ohio State, so we always compare to Ohio State. But remember, there's just a handful of those really elite schools who could go anywhere they want, the Clemson, the Alabama, the Ohio State. Penn State's not one of them, but they're among that best of the rest. So I wouldn't. It's hard to get too much on Penn State for not recruiting well because they've done a pretty good job. All right. Next, we have Bill in Philadelphia. He asked, Greg, do you believe the second recruiting signing day, the original one in February, will become more popular this year with the spring visit period effectively being canceled?
I thought about that a lot recently, and I think it was Audrey Schneider from The Athletic who asked James Franklin 2 weeks ago whether or not the December signing day is something that's still realistic. And it's a fair question. I just think we don't have enough answers at this point in time. Jim, if we keep our fingers crossed and that, you know, kids can start going back to campus for academic reasons in June, which means guys will be able to visit campus in June, and maybe the NCAA changes its recruiting calendar a bit and allows those visits to happen in July and maybe even in some August, I do think the December signing day will be the more popular choice for a lot of kids. Now, do I think we'll see an uptick in February signings this year? Sure. I don't think there's any question about that. But I don't think it'll be dramatic, and I don't think it'll be anything close to what we've seen the December signing day become. So now, look, the longer this goes, obviously, the more that answer is going to change. If kids can't visit campuses again until the fall, then, you know, you're probably going to see a pretty major reversal in the sense that a lot of guys will use December after the season to make trips and see campus during that window in December, but they may not be able to make all of them. And so they'd have to wait in January to go take trips. So I do think that, you know, it really just depends how long all this goes on. But the sooner, you know, campuses open back up for kids and students to come, the more likely it is that December date continues to be the major one for most prospects.
All right, let's get one more in here. This one is from Dominic in Cranberry Township. He asked, if Penn State's offensive line recruiting picks up and they have some big names that they're looking into, could you foresee it getting to the point where Nate Bruce would consider decommitting again?
No, I don't think so. I think that he's locked and loaded in this class, and that Penn State did a really nice job to kind of answer any questions he had and really stepped in and filled the void of uncertainty that he clearly was thinking of. So, no, I think they did a really nice job there, Jim. I do not envision him decommitting. And the question kind of implies, would Penn State maybe try and move on from him? I don't believe that's going to be the case either.
I think if they wanted to, they had that opportunity during his decommitment. I think bringing him back was evidence that what they think of him. All right, let's get your favorite question here. You need me to review them for you, or do you have it there?
No, Jim, let's go with the question about Ricky Slade and whether the current health situation will hinder the transfer process for a lot of guys. I think that was interesting and something a lot of listeners are interested in.
All right. That's James from Mechanicsburg. That's the winning question. And that is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops. All new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.